Hey everyone, David here. Severance is back. The Lorehounds are partnering with Properly Howard to bring you in-depth weekly coverage of season 2. Join me, John, Anthony, and Steve as we unpack every twist, theory, and revelation. We've created a dedicated feed just for our Severance coverage. Simply search for Severance Lorehounds in your podcast app, or find the direct link in our link tree. Our weekly episodes dig deep into the show's mysteries, themes, and bigger questions about identity and consciousness that make Severance so compelling. Season Pass and regular community subscribers get ad-free access to our weekly episodes, plus exclusive content like our Supply Closet bonus series, featuring fascinating conversations with experts like the team from Nevermind the Music. We've explored the neuroscience of memory and personality, decoded the hidden meanings in the show's musical themes, and there's much more to come. You'll also get Steve and Anthony's complete season 1 rewatch series. We believe in total transparency with our listeners. And unlike mammalians nurturable, we're happy to share all of our secrets. Find the link for the Severance feed in the show notes below, or search Severance Lorehounds wherever you get your podcasts. Come theorize with us about what's really happening at Lumen.
And remember, the episode you think you're about to hear is merely a reflection of the episode that thinks it's about to be heard.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, Lorehounds listeners. It's Alicia back with the next chapter of our Oscars 2025 prep series. This time, it's a shorter episode zooming in on one of my all-time favorite categories, which has an especially good lineup this year, the live-action shorts. For this episode, I'll be joined in a moment by Catherine October Matthews, whom some of you might recognize from our coverage of the witchy movies, The Craft, and The Craft Legacy from the Woolshift Dust feed back in October. I thought Catherine was an especially interesting guest for this episode, which is very focused on storytelling because she has developed a fun and interesting tool that we can use as a framework to evaluate these films. We'll describe it for you as we go, but if you're a more visual person and you just want to see what it looks like before you hear us talking about it, you'll find a link in the show notes to the Emotion Mixer, and that will give you a better visual idea. As usual, you don't need to have seen the movies yourself. We'll set each of them up and help you decide which of these short films you might be interested in watching yourself, or at least give you an overview of the nominees to give you more stake in the results of this category on Sunday the 2nd. But if you do want to watch before listening, and again, they are all shorts, which means they are under 40 minutes, you can watch the nominee Anuja on Netflix. You can find I Am Not a Robot on the New Yorker YouTube channel, and The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent is available on arte.tv, so that's ARTE.TV, though that may be geolocked for Europe. The other two, The Last Ranger and Alien, have been taken offline since the nomination. If you're in the U.S., the Shorts Theater Package is the best way to see them all and a great theater experience overall. But if you're having trouble and want to see these, hop into our awards season chat on the Lorehounds Discord and we'll see if we can help you find them. We are now in the second half of our Blitz of Oscars 2025 coverage. Check out the mini episode I did with David linked in the show notes for an overview of the entire series and some important notes for this year's ceremony and season, and then dive into the animation episode, which was a delightful conversation, not just about the Oscar nominees, but about the Oscars machine in general and some things you might not realize about animation. Plus, we have an episode about the Emilia Perez controversy from the Mexican and trans perspectives. And one of my favorite episodes this year is the Nevermind the Oscars music episode, where Mark and I listen to the music clips to break down the score and song categories. Plus, there's a special spotlight episode about Conclave, the film that could sneak in to win the big prize, and a dive into the documentaries this year with doc editor Rebecca June Lane. If you haven't watched any of the docs, definitely listen to this to get a feel for those two categories and figure out if any of them are for you. Plus, get more recs of other 2024 docs you may like better. For this episode, the usual spoiler policy for this series applies. We're operating on the assumption that you have not seen these films. Bonus if you have. But in general, we're not trying to spoil any of them, but we are going to tell you generally what they're about so you can have an idea of which might be interesting to you. And also, we're going to bring up some plot points as they're relevant to the discussion of the storytelling. So you're going to walk away with at least a feeling about what each of these are about and the emotions, especially in this case, they make you feel as you watch. Okay, that's all the preamble for today. Let's jump to my conversation with Catherine. Hi, and welcome, Catherine October Matthews. Now, listeners to this year's Spooktober special on the Wool Shift Dust feed, where we talked about The Craft, will have already, quote unquote, met you before. But do you want to give a quick introduction for people who haven't yet?
Sure. I am Catherine October Matthews. I'm a writer, an artist, an editor, and an independent publisher based in the Netherlands, along with you.
Yes, this may be how we know each other. So we're going to be talking through the five live-action shorts that are nominated, and then I have a few more recs for anyone who's enjoyed these shorts so far. We're going to talk through them one at a time, but are there any favorites that you want to shout out up top?
Oh, you know, I might be a bit cliche, but I did enjoy The Dutch, Dutch movie, I'm Not a Robot. Maybe just because it wasn't so emotionally traumatizing as the others.
Yeah. Okay. See, we'll get to it. But I think it's a dark horse for the prize, personally. Are you a fan of short film in general and the format?
I think it has its advantages. Currently, I would say I'm more of a series person. Gives you a little bit more to be invested in. But I do, it does have a special function, maybe similarly to short stories compared to novels or series in the written form. So I admire it as a form while not having it as one of my favorites.
Okay. Yeah, I'm always a fan. Those who listened last year will have heard me say that I enjoy the short films because they're like just little like snack packs of different flavors. And yeah. And as you point out, you know, it is an especially heavy year, I think, in terms of the content of the films at the Oscars. And that I think, you know, that's obviously reflecting this kind of darker moment we are in the world right now. And so it's nicer than in that case when it is under 40 minutes long.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to punch me in the face repeatedly, I would appreciate if it was short.
Oh, but speaking of these emotions, so you invented this tool that we're going to be using as a framework for our conversation called the Emotion Mixer. And before we talk about how we're going to use it here, how is it normally used? Can you describe the tool for people who are not looking at it now?
Sure. So it's basically a wheel that you can rotate and play with, similar in concept to a color wheel. And the idea is that it's a tool for creators so that you can bring more emotional depth and nuance to your work. It's a tool of formalism. So, for example, if you're a visual artist and you were to think about a color wheel, you know, if you want to think about how to create an engaging color palette for your work, you might turn to a wheel and say, okay, I want to, you know, bring out red with some turquoise or something like this. Mm-hmm. You would make use of color complements, split complements, that sort of thing. There aren't really such tools of formalism for emotion. So this tool is a new introduction into that field. You know, how can we think about the emotions that we bring to the works that we create? And so the idea is that through the emotion mixer, you can consider emotions as a palette. You could create an emotional palette, or you can just think about the way that emotions can be disrupted by other forces. So that's the idea. Like, how can you think more formally about the emotions that you're trying to evoke in mm-hmm. your audience?
Right. So since I am looking at the emotion mixer, so it looks like, so the way it works is you pick a primary emotion. In most cases, you go for a primary emotion you're going for. In this case, I think when we're talking, we're going to be kind of reverse engineering this to use this as the framework for this conversation. So per short, let's say we pick a primary emotion that's most prevalent in the short.
Sure.
And then you see directly across from that as you were describing the complement. So we know, like, maybe with when a color wheel might be like blue with yellow. Sorry, I'm not... I don't have the color wheel off the top of my head. Is red and green complements? They're opposites. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So let's see. I have it on the emotion serenity, contentment, calm. And then the complement is overwhelm, stress, confusion. So it's kind of like the opposite in a way.
Yeah. It's something
so
that
red and
is
green. Yeah.
stark contrast is the way that you could mm-hmm. think about it. But contrast in a way that one can bring out or amplify the other. And as well on the emotion mixer, you can see also gradients. So there's also mm-hmm. an intensity scale of all of these emotions. So
right.
there's kind of the strongest emotion. And then if you're trying to, let's say, bring out the full strength of one emotion, you might want to pick two subtler complements just okay. to kind of pepper in those things that bring out the strength of the other.
Right.
For example.
So in this case, it would be serenity is the strongest on that side. And then so you might want to mix it not with overwhelm, but with stress and confusion.
Yeah.
So you kind of to emphasize
example.
The serenity. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I see next to the complement, there's the inner triad and outer triad. So there's one of each. I mean, there's two for inner triads. And then beyond that, two outer triads.
Yeah, those are the split complements. So, for example, you could go directly across into the complement, and then you go one out on both sides for the inner triad and one out on both sides for the outer triad. And those are the split complements. And they're just, again, different combinations that you can use that you would use both of those split complements together. So it would become more of a threesome than the two of the complements.
I see. So with serenity, you could use terror and awe together, or you could use fury and joy together. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So the outer triad gets a bit more, not dispersed, but a bit wider in the emotional range.
Yeah.
Okay. And then next to the primary emotion, you also have addend. So next to serenity, there's triumph and depression. And these are just, instead of there being the three options with the gradients of strength of emotion, these are just the strongest ones.
Yeah. So when it comes to the addends, so if we take as a given that you want to focus on serenity as your primary emotion, it may also be the case that you don't want to hit too directly on serenity, but you want to reach that emotion a bit indirectly. And so one way that you might achieve that is by using two emotions, which are in combination, more can reach something approaching serenity. So it's a little bit of an indirect. And so okay. In this case, if you combine triumph and depression, it's something like an additive towards serenity.
Interesting. I wouldn't have thought about depression, but I guess with triumph being such like a strong active emotion, depression kind of takes it down a notch.
Mm. Yeah. And what I find maybe most interesting about using the emotion mixer is when you start to talk about it, it really challenges you to think about how those emotions, how you get there, what those emotions mm-hmm. feel like. And yeah. And that conversation itself, that asking, that questioning is where all the work happens. Because most of the time we throw around these words without really engaging or without working too hard to understand what they mean, because that's how language works, right? You throw out a mm-hmm. word and people say they understand, but actually if like we really get into it, it may be that we're making a whole lot of assumptions, both about emotion and language, that aren't really shared assumptions.
Right. Okay. Oh, I think this is going to be fun. So as we go through, we're going to basically pick what we think is the dominant emotion and then look at the rest of this and see how this is playing into how the story was constructed. And as far as spoiler policy, like we're not here to spoil the films, but we do want to be able to, of course, discuss some plot points. So just fair warning for that. So we're talking again about the live action shorts category, and these awards have been around in some form since the beginning. Like they used to have one reel and two reel varieties, which were dividing them up by length. Then they had a special extra category for color, special extra category for novelty, which I'm even not entirely sure what that's about. But now they've been in this current form basically since 1974. And the stipulation is that they be... These are fiction, you know, there's a separate documentary category that there's already been an episode about. And they have to be 40 minutes or less, including credits. And then the Academy Award goes to the individual most directly responsible for the concept and the creative execution of the film in the event that more than one individual has been directly and importantly involved in creative decisions, a second statuette may be awarded. In effect, this basically means it's always the creator, or if there are two creators, then the two creators. If there's one creator, the second person is pretty much always the producer, the main producer on the film. There was a short list of 15 films. I'm going to shout out a couple from that short list that didn't make the nomination at the end. But of course, as usual, 5 nominees in total. And let's start with The Last Ranger. So that's a 28-minute film from South Africa, made by Darwin Shaw and Cindy Lee, and distributed by the Star Film Company. And it's set at the Amakala Game Reserve, and also they did some filming at the Kariega Game Reserve. These are both in the Eastern Cape in South Africa. And it's set during the pandemic. And yeah, it incorporates real rhino footage, by the way, the most horrifying parts. And this is a content warning for animal lovers. This is a real heartbreaker of one. It is about, basically, it's about rhino poaching. And it involves a personal story from some game park, what do you call them?
Night
guides. Rangers, right? Right. It's right there in the title. and there's like a family with a little girl and her father and grandmother. So it becomes a personal story about that. And we won't spoil that personal story. But what would you say, Catherine, is the primary emotion in this one?
Despair.
Despair. So with lighter shades of loneliness and alienation, or if you do the addend, depression and disgust. Oof. Yeah. I feel the depression and the disgust, really.
Yeah.
That's definitely a thing. But on the other side, there is joy and actually
playfulness. Mm-hmm. I think that for me is the key. Like that's the emotion that they use very well. And I feel like this one really does hold up with the reverse engineering of the emotion mixer, because mm-hmm. there's all this despair going on. And I would qualify here. So despair as an emotion, like just to give kind of a working definition, we're talking not just about depression, which is more about one's sadness, but despair is specifically kind of about the alienation amplified. So a sense of really an extreme disconnection from other people and yourself. If I pair that with one of the more subtle versions of the compliment, playfulness, there's all these scenes of, you know, them driving in the car and, you know, she's got the little toy rhinos that she's playing with the little girl, and you know, she's waving them in the wind, and they're kind of poking fun at each other, and she's speaking to her in the voice as though
she and the ranger,
as though that she is the rhino, and mm-hmm. you know, they're doing this playfulness, and I think that the balance of those two is kind of what creates the human connection,
right. And it's interesting that, you know, so as you say, the primary emotion comes in different shades, and the lighter shades you have for despair here are loneliness and alienation. And this is, as I said, set during COVID. So that's definitely, and this is one of the background things is that it's hard for them to really watch for the poachers, because obviously a lot of people who work at the park as rangers went home, and they can't really pay them because there aren't tourists coming in. And, you know, so it is this moment of loneliness and alienation. And it is perhaps also driving some characters to turn to poaching out of desperation.
Mm, yeah. And I think moreover that there's this feeling of, you know, the rangers are kind of out there on their own. And there is this feeling that I think they create, which is a little bit, it's us against the world. There are these forces at play that we are, you know, trying to work against, and we feel righteous about, but there are very large forces that we are, you know, mere right. mortals to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, and I should say about the compliment joy, it doesn't end on a note of joy. At the very end. Bittersweetness, at least.
Yeah. Maybe it at least tries to leave us with some sense of hope or continuity, or it tries. I must admit, I'm left more with the overwhelming sense of despair. Because I found it was so strong and so long that it was. I mean, like I said, I do think that they integrated that spicing of playfulness that kept it from being too exclusively that one hard note throughout. Mm-hmm. But it was a pretty hard note for a long time. Like they really drove it home.
Yeah. I watched it twice, and especially the first time I cried throughout. Yeah.
All right. Why you do that to yourself?
All right. Moving on to the next super happy one. Anuja is the next nominee, 22 minutes long, from the USA, but in Hindi and set in India. And if it wins, the Oscars will go to Suchitra Mattai and Adam J. Graves. This one you can see on Netflix, and it's it was put together, I guess, by the Salam Balak Trust, an Indian nonprofit group and non-governmental organization which provides support for street and working children in the Delhi area. And I mean, they were at least involved in the background. And this one's really about two young sisters who are on their own and working in like a sweatshop, basically sewing clothing. But the younger girl is very smart, and she has an opportunity for an education. And I won't spoil it, but I'll just say, like, it ends up coming down to a choice. between prioritizing her education, which her sister wants to do, but also this could come at a great cost to her sister versus, you know, prioritizing her sister. So yeah, what would you say is the primary emotion for you in this one?
This is an interesting one because I feel like they are intentionally trying to create indecision, which is uncertainty. So in right. on the emotion mixer, I don't describe this as an emotion, but a distortion. Okay. And that's on the other side. So there are these disruptions to emotion. So I would put this in the category of desire or joy, maybe. And it's a distorted effect. So I may call it hope, I think is a real driving force of this one, or possibly anticipation. But there's a whole lot of uncertainty. Like uncertainty is kind of, especially from the perspective of the Anuja, the younger sister, mm-hmm. who is the one who has to fundamentally make this choice. She doesn't seem to really know what she wants. She just knows how much she loves her sister, right? Mm-hmm. But she doesn't seem to have a strong driving knowledge of what she wants or should want. She just likes hanging out with her sister. So that's why I think the emotion is so much more not about what she's feeling, but about what we as the audience hope for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it is that hope, like we want what's best for her. We hope that she finds her way through this. And that's to do with the uncertainty. And I think that uncertainty comes from her, that we okay. don't know what she's going to choose.
Yeah. Yeah. So about the emotion mixer, I missed this backside. And this is very interesting, actually, what's going on here. So you have what we've been talking about, the primary side, but then on the other side, you have these strong emotions, but then a different kind of wheel under them. So you take an emotion and you can add acceptance or add denial or add frustration or add uncertainty. And those are the distortions that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they're not exactly emotions. And, you know, even within the field of emotions, there's a lot of disagreement or like it's not always so clear what an emotion is, because there's so mm-hmm. many things that are more like experiences than emotions. Like, for example, do we all agree with certainty that love is an emotion and lust is physiological? Mm-hmm. You know, so many of these things are kind of families of mm-hmm. reactions that more than they are. When we talk about emotions, there has to be a little bit of understanding or appreciation for the idea that they're not one thing. But when I was thinking about this side of the emotion disruption, it's, you know, these forces, acceptance, denial, frustration, and uncertainty, they're more like factors that influence emotion or distort emotions more than they are emotions themselves. And so that's what I'm looking at, like how these things, like how uncertainty mm-hmm. distorts your emotion or disrupts right. your emotion.
Right. Yeah, and that's a really interesting point to bring up for especially Anuja, because they live an uncertain existence where they're just trying to eck out and, you know, no spoilers, but just maybe bend the rules a little bit to make something out of they don't really have solid footing under their feet at any point. That's kind of the driving force of this narrative.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, they're trying to make their way the best way that these two very young girls know mm-hmm. how.
Yeah, the younger one's 8, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, uncertainty drives a lot about their lives.
Yeah, okay.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, speaking of uncertainty, the next one is one that I hated the experience of watching, but I can't stop thinking about ever since. And that's Alien. And I'm saying it like that because it's spelled A space L-I-E-N. And yeah, when Bowen Yang announced this at the Oscar announcements, he was like, Alien. I was like, no, that's under special effects. That's a different film. I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce it, but I'm going to say Alien. It's 15 minutes long. It's an American short. The Oscar would go to Sam and David Cutler Cruz, which I'm not sure. I'm assuming they're brothers, but I don't know. And this one, it's actually fairly less decorated than the others because, you know, we talked about during the animation episode that for shorts, you have to go through a string of festivals and do well there to get this far. But I do wonder if this could also be a low-key dark horse, like the one we're going to talk about last. It is based on a real practice of ICE luring people to, you know, so it's about a migrant who he was brought to the U.S. when he was a small child. He was raised here. He has a fully American accent. He has an American wife, and they just talk like they don't even like speak Spanish really much. Not that that's a problem if they do, but just to say how firmly American he is. And they have a daughter, a young daughter who's maybe, I don't know, like
six.
Okay. And they're going to his meeting for, he's going to have like a hearing for a green card. But then while they're there at the meeting, people start being arrested. And it is so tense. I'm glad it's only 15 minutes because it was like really, oh, my heart was thudding out of my chest. What was your primary emotion for this one?
I want to say emotion, but I think it danced frenetically between overwhelm and terror. And the thing that I would emphasize is that I think this is one for the backside, for the disruption, because if you take overwhelm and uncertainty, or
anxiety. Oh yeah. This anxiety is definitely a driving force in this.
Or if you take terror and uncertainty.
Panic. Yeah.
Panic.
Right.
This was all about that whole family. Overwhelm, terror, panic, anxiety. It was all over.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not really about the compliments of, I mean, maybe, yeah, there is a moment of triumph in a sense. And there is obviously depression looming. Yeah. So that's the inner triad across from overwhelm on the front side. So,
yeah, they give us a small sprinkling of relief.
Triumph. Yeah.
Yeah. The subtlest version of that relief. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They give us a small sprinkling of that. And a bit of, I mean, as well as sadness. So I think they do sprinkle that in, but it is, but they use that to kind of amplify that, those hard hitting primary notes of overwhelm, terror, panic.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not an easy watch as you might gather, but I do recommend. It's only 15 minutes, as I said. This is one of the shorter ones. And I think every American especially should see this.
Mm. Yeah. It's
even before the last few weeks, it's very relevant to the current moment.
Yeah. I mean, I do worry that it is more because it's so emotionally driven, I do think that it will mostly affect the people who are already emotionally invested in the, you know, the good treatment of others.
But if you see parents, you know, like a mother with her small child, for example, I think that's hard for even people who, you know, the people who don't, aren't emotionally invested in you know, that the fair treatment of migrants, then just seeing that, you can't help but relate. It's hard not to relate to the, these people. And I think that's part of what makes it so gripping. Okay. Well, the next one on the list isn't really easier. we're saving the fuzzy one for last. Fuzzy is a relative term here. But okay, so this, the next one, number four, is The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent. And that is 13 minutes long. It's from Croatia. And oh my gosh, I'm going to try these names, but I am so sorry in advance. Nebojša. Thank you. Oh yeah, you're better at this. Can you say these names? You used to live in the Czech Republic, at least.
Yeah, Nebojša Slajepčević and Daniel Peck. Okay. That's my best shot. Please.
No, that's much better than. Thank you. Thank you. I think it's a very, I love the way it looks, but I just am not as practiced in pronouncing those letters. And so this is about the Strypci massacre of 1993, which involved the killing of 18 Muslims and one Croat who were pulled off the train by the Serbian White Eagles paramilitary group. And the one Croat was a retired Yugoslavian officer, Tomo Buzov. So sorry, we are, history spoils this one. but it's this tense moment that primarily takes place in a train car, where at first one guy is being like that, oh, I am going to, you know, I'm going to make sure everyone's okay. And he's not the one who stands up at the end. And it's just this kind of chilling, they leave it on this very chilling note. This one is the favorite to win, I think, primarily because it was the winner of the short film Top Palme d'Or at Cannes in 2024. So it is thought to be the potential winner. I don't know about that. We'll talk about that in the, when we talk about the next one. But this is, in any case, the first Croatian film to get nominated for in this category since the independence of Croatia. And what would you say is the primary emotion here?
This one's a bit tough for me because I think it it hits on something that's not covered directly by the emotion mixer, which would be injustice. But kind of some similar emotions that it might be hitting on are outrage, self-righteousness, defensiveness. All of which are part of the disruption side, in this, which is those are all states of denial combined with disgust, anguish, and fury. So that is kind of the family of emotions that I would put this in.
I think that's definitely what it leaves viewers with is disgust at humanity, at these dark moments, and there's a helplessness.
Yeah, maybe that's a good emotion. I wouldn't have really come to mind with that, but I think you're right.
Yeah, I mean, this one I recommend looking up. It's very well made, and like I said, it is the favorite to win. But most people who I talk to have the last one as their favorite, including you, including me. And just to prove it's not just because it's Dutch, including Lisa, Red Zippy from the Discord, she sent in a voicemail that we'll listen to in just a second. So I think that I'm not a robot, 22 minute Dutch Belgian short. And by that, we mean Dutch the Netherlands and Belgium, like, co-produced it, basically helped fund it together. But it's from Victoria Varmerdam and Trent And Victoria Varmerdam is Dutch. And this one's distributed by The New Yorker. So it is one of the easier ones to find. And it's about the CAPTCHA test, which the movie will tell you several times, kind of hilariously, is the completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart. And so basically, the main character is at work, and she gets a CAPTCHA test pops up, and you know she's trying to pass it, like what are the stoplights, or I don't remember what exactly it is for this one, and then she keeps failing the CAPTCHA test, and so she calls customer support, and customer support is like, well, have you ever considered that maybe you are a robot? And then things spiral in a surreal way from there. And before I check in with you, Catherine, let's listen to what Red Zippy had to say about this.
Hey, this is Lisa, aka Red Zippy, and I'm calling in to talk about my favorite live action short film so far, which is I'm Not a Robot. Granted, I have not yet seen The Last Ranger nor The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent yet, so I think my rankings will change. But for now, let's talk about I'm Not a Robot. This, for me, was a great episode of Black Mirror. You know, it started out as a darkly humorous IT scenario. I mean, we've all been there. I hate the CAPTCHA boxes when they pop up. I mean, how dare they get free AI training from me as I try to log on to a website? But anyway, but then she clicks on the take a quiz. And again, I'm still like, this is a dark comedy. The fake exam will be silly, etc. But when she gets her exam score, the film just turns into a psychological thriller about AI. Lead actress Ellen Perrin, I thought, was terrific, and I was at the edge of my seat in the final minutes. I understand The Man Who Could Not Remain Silent is the favorite to win this, and I can't wait to see it when the Oscar shorts hit our movie theaters. That's all for now.
Yeah, and just by the way, about on the note about short being the favorite to win, it's a notoriously unpredictable category. So I think, yeah, it could very well be I'm Not a Robot, Ich Bin Kein Robot. Catherine, what do you think is the primary emotion of Ich Bin Kein Robot?
I would say a little bit between fury and anguish and some of the distortions there. Because there's a whole lot of
denial, definitely mixed in with that,
and the frustration of, I mean, anyone who's ever been trying to fill out one of those stupid CAPTCHA things in it, and you know, you miss one street sign or something, and then you're stuck there on somebody. It's frustrating because you're trying to complete something or you're trying to do something, and you're being prevented from doing so by administrivia. So there's anger combined with a bit of pain as it develops. Mm-hmm. So anger, fury and anguish. But then also together with frustration and maybe uncertainty. So with those distorting factors. So
yeah, it's very interesting because so if you combine. And this is something, you know, we don't want to like give away the whole thing, but it is something that keeps, it just keeps building as it keeps going. You're like, holy shit, well, what now? in a darkly humorous way. So you add denial and that leads to defensiveness with anguish. Add denial to fury, it leads to outrage. Definitely emotions she experiences. Add frustration and we get resentment from anguish, bitterness from fury. Definitely by the, she's definitely getting bitter by certain people towards certain people by the end. You add uncertainty, there's suspicion, and it's interesting, add certainty to anguish and you get mortalism, which again, no spoilers, but that definitely.
Well, I think that one is really, I mean, a really perfect manifestation in this exercise, like this idea, am I alive or am I not? Like this, this defense of your mortalism. It's such an existential threat, right?
I mean I really hope that this one wins because I feel like you know, obviously the man who could not remain silenced that has the con recognition, and but I just keep hearing people being passionate about I'm not a robot, and the shorts are so unpredictable about who, and I'm not a robot is one of the easier ones to watch. So there's a good chance that voters were able to watch it even before official voting, before they got the screeners and stuff. So,
At the same time, I do feel a bit bad for picking that as my personal favorite, just because I know that I'm leaning towards it just because it's maybe the most emotionally easy because it's got that dark humor about it, or like or that absurdity about it. And some of these are just so intense, so unpleasantly intense to watch.
Very real. The rest are all very real, and this is sci-fi. Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I mean, there's always the difference, or I don't want to fall into the trap of entertaining ourselves to death or something like that. And at the same time, I don't,
this does have depth, though, still.
Sure. Sure. And it's not entirely pleasant to watch either.
No,
it's just absurd in a way that the others can just be gut-wrenching or really, really panic-stricken or so on. But they were all so intense, like really just full of intensity for such small packages.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really strong year in terms of the quality of these, but indeed, it's an intense year. So other than I'm Not a Robot, which of the other ones would you recommend people seek out most?
Oh, Alien.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only 15 minutes again, and it'll stick with you.
Yeah,
I guess, this I would say the same. I mean, obviously, I'm like, watch them all. plus, there's another shortlisted one that didn't get nominated, but it's one of my top favorites, and it's called The Masterpiece. It's 20 minutes long. It's American by Alex Laura Cersos, and it did win, actually, the Short Film Grand Jury Prize at the Sundance Film Festival in 2024. So I am surprised it didn't get the nomination. It's just also very good. It's kind of like Succession, like a short version of Succession, in a way where you have this family who comes to collect, there's a wealthy family and there's a less wealthy family, and the less wealthy family is going to take some appliances from the wealthier family's house so that they can, turn them in for parts and blah, 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 get some money off of them. And then the wealthier family sees the less wealthy family has a painting. And it's the wife who works in art believes it could be worth a lot of money. And it becomes a negotiation then once they realize that this random painting they've collected from someone else might be something of value, and how they negotiate from these different places of power. And it's just super interesting. I definitely recommend The Masterpiece. And there's also another light, darkly humorous one, but not entirely light one, called Crust. That should be easy to find on YouTube. That was another one from the shortlist for the Oscars, and it's about kind of an allegory, in a way, of how we pass on family trauma and the expectation to carry the trauma of previous generations, but in the sense of a kind of daredevil family. It's just very cute. Sister Wives is a BAFTA, was that BAFTA nominee? Or was it BAFTA long list? But anyway, I think you can still find that on YouTube. And it is about two Mormon women who are, forced into a polygamous marriage together, and how they find happiness. And that one does have a really nice ending. So definitely, and you'll recognize, by the way, I think the actresses who play the two women, actually, and the husband as well. And the other one is one that I saw at a festival, and it is set in the, I think, Chinese Australian community, I guess in Melbourne, and it's called The Dancing Girl and the Balloon Man. And it's just a really charming meet cute between two people, one of which is a balloon man who is someone who, I guess this is like a thing in Australia where you, they use like these human sized balloons. You can crawl inside and perform and do these things in any way. So I think all of those are worth checking out. Catherine, did you have any thoughts on the shorts that we've talked about today?
I think one more thing that really stood out to me is how much these collectively were concerned with oppressive power, like mm-hmm. institutional power being used to oppress people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's really of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think it's, we see in the Oscars reflected back the year that we've been experiencing, and it's not really, there is, although there's a lot of more escapism in terms of like, we see more sci-fi nominations, like I'm Not a Robot, or, you know, in the big categories, we see more horror, which is kind of our way of dealing with being in dark times. Yeah, I just always, this is one of my favorite categories. So thank you for coming to talk with me about it today. I will include in the show notes a link to your website and a link to the emotion mixer so people can see what it looks like for themselves. And you have like some diagrams on there a bit about how it works. So people can explore that if they were intrigued by that. Yeah, thank you again for your time. And we're going to get you back soon, I think, to talk maybe something travel related.
Great. Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Right. Bye. Thank you again, Catherine. And after we recorded, Catherine sent me an interview that she found where the directors of the immigration thriller Alien were asked about the name, and they said this. David Cutler Cruz said, I don't know, when asked about, you know, where the name came from, he said, I don't know. I think when you think about titles, sometimes they just seem to appear out of somewhere, and then I can't recall. Maybe Sam, speaking to his brother, you recall exactly where a line came from, is how they're spelling it here. But I think it was just one of those ones where that we stumbled on it, and it really was truly a stumble on the title. Like, what a fascinating phrase, or essentially wordplay that encompasses the whole story, right? I mean, in some weird way, it just tells the entire story of the movie in just that. And I think it was just one of those ones that just kept sticking with us. It feels like it encompasses, like, it doesn't mean anything on the surface, but then after you've watched the film, you go back and you're like, oh, that is the film, right? I mean, it's bureaucratic. It's about obligation and payment and dues. And yet at the same time, it's a play of words on Alien and Split Apart. I mean, it's the film. So I think it was just for us. That's really where that came from. And Sam Cutler-Kreutz says, yeah, I think if you look back at our other shorts as well, we like titles that have multiple meanings that can hold more than one thing and something about that. I don't know it. We try as best we can and to varying degrees of success to infuse the films all the way through with the deepest kind of meaning we can. That sounds very lame, but try to build in stuff and not like hiding Easter eggs or numerology, but just this idea. Although we sometimes do that too. But how do we layer in the deepest themes all the way through this thing? And then that translates out to the title. I think as well, where how is that a reflection of our kind of multi-layered thoughts? And it's a complicated topic. So credit to the blog Ice Cream for Freaks for that interview. And Aileen, spelled L-I-E-N, like the title of the movie. In that case, it's an official order that allows someone to keep property of a person who owes them money until that money has been paid back. Anyway, so thank you, Catherine, for sending that over. Very illuminating. And check the show notes for links to Catherine's website and images and visual explanations of the emotion mixer tool that you just heard us using. And for good measure, I'll add the link to the conversation Catherine and I had about the Kraft movies over on the Woolshift Dust feed. So side note, by the way, on this category for the BAFTAs, the BAFTA nominees for Best British Short Film, which is the closest parallel category. They had zero overlap this year with the Oscar nominees, but this year's prize of the BAFTAs went to Rock, Paper, Scissors for Best British Short Film. Yeah, Rock, Paper, Scissors is a true and very harrowing story of a young man trying to protect a bunker full of kids in the Ukrainian war. And the film may or may not still be available to watch on the BAFTA YouTube channel in Britain, depending on when you hear this. Next up for our series, it's time to talk about the writing. The two writing categories at the Oscars are Best Adapted and Best Original Screenplays, which, as usual, are closely tied to the Best Picture nominees. And I've paired these with another category I consider to be one of the most important and exciting to watch, International Film, which this year also includes two Best Picture nominees, though I'm actually rooting for another film on that lineup. Coming this week after that are the Blockbuster Awards, or Tech Awards is the way they're usually called. Sounds kind of boring that way, but they're actually the films you're most likely to have seen. And then we will wrap up this series with episodes about the acting and directing categories and the grand finale with David, looking back on everything we've discussed throughout this series to discuss the biggest award, the 10 Best Picture nominees. In the meantime, check the show notes for links to the Oscar-nominated movies we've already done deep dives into, plus our previous Oscars coverage this year and last. And also watch this feed for new Silmarillion stories, Maya and Jean's reaction to Captain America's coming at the start of next week, and a Lorehound's play about the new Indiana Jones games coming soon. If you're a Severance fan, of course, make sure you're subscribed to this separate Severance Lorehound's feed, and Supercast and Patreon subscribers have been getting the extra Severance topic deep dives into a lot about especially the psychology of Severance and the neurophysiology of the technology they use. So that is also, if you're not a subscriber, that is also available through a discounted season pass, although subscribers also have access to extra episodes, like a second breakfast episode coming, a Daredevil prep episode coming, where Jean and I are going to recap what happened basically in the Netflix series and talk through that. And this month's 11 Z's is David Lynch's Eraserhead. Explore the link tree in the show notes for all of those links, and also the affiliate feeds like my own Wool Shift Dust, which just wrapped up Silo and we're about to begin Dune, the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast, Radioactive Ramblings, they're doing Invincible right now as well as Ghibli, and never mind the music, psychology and music. And you'll find a link in the link tree also to our Discord, where there's a special award season channel where you can join the chat. You'll find it under current shows, under the current shows heading, as well as channels for basically everything else we're talking about and beyond. We also want to hear your thoughts on this year's Oscars crop and what your other top movies are of this year, especially if you can record a voice message about what exactly you loved and why. And you can email that to oscars@thelorehounds.com so that we can include you in the conversation in the finale. And if you enjoyed this episode, please do share it with someone else you think might like some of these Oscar or storytelling insights. And as usual, we're going to wrap it up with a shout out to the people who support us most and help us make this crazy podcasting venture increasingly viable. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much to Discord server boosters Aaron K, Tilla the Thriller, Dork of the Ninjas, Duve71, Athena Agileia, Tina, Lestu, Nancy M, Ghost of Perdition, and Radioactive Richard. And thank you most especially to our subscribers, our lore hounds, but most of all, our lore masters. That is our highest tier of subscribers. Always get a shout out. And that's Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Peter OH, Bettina W, Adam S, Nancy M, Duve71, Brian 8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Matthew M, Sarah M, DJ Miwa, Andrew B, Kwong Yu, Jedi Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex V, Aaron T, Sub-Zero, Aaron K, Dally V, Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W, Listu, Jeffrey B, Elisa U, Neil F, Ben B, Scott F, Stephen N, Julia F, Kali S, Ilmariel, and always last, Adrian. And thank you, of course, to all of our listeners. You make it possible for us to keep doing this. Please do share this with any other film fans in your life who you think might enjoy it. And see you next for what I personally consider to be some of the most important categories of the race, adapted and original screenplay and international film.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, David here. Severance is back. The Lorehounds are partnering with Properly Howard to bring you in-depth weekly coverage of Season 2. Join me, John, Anthony, and Steve as we unpack every twist, theory, and revelation. We've created a dedicated feed just for our Severance coverage. Simply search for Severance Lorehounds in your podcast app, or find the direct link in our link tree. Our weekly episodes dig deep into the show's mysteries, themes, and bigger questions about identity and consciousness that make Severance so compelling. Season Pass and regular community subscribers get ad-free access to our weekly episodes, plus exclusive content like our Supply Closet bonus series, featuring fascinating conversations with experts like the team from Nevermind the Music. We've explored the neuroscience of memory and personality, decoded the hidden meanings in the show's musical themes, and there's much more to come. You'll also get Steve and Anthony's complete Season 1 rewatch series. We believe in total transparency with our listeners. And unlike mammalians nurturable, we're happy to share all of our secrets. Find the link for the Severance feed in the show notes below, or search Severance Lorehounds wherever you get your podcasts. Come theorize with us about what's really happening at Lumen.
And remember, the episode you think you're about to hear is merely a reflection of the episode that thinks it's about to be heard.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.